Now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great company, with camels that bore spices, very much gold, and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half has not been told me. Your wisdom and posterity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men and happy are your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold, spices in great quantity, and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the Queen of Sheba gave to the king Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor was the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all that she desired. Whatever she asked, beside what Solomon had given her, according to his royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. If you please be seated. If you have your Bibles this day, turn to Matthew chapter 12. And our text is taken from verse 42. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, it may surprise you that the Lord Jesus had something to preach. And what he came to preach was not some enlightenment which he had learnt from nature or from anywhere else around him. The Lord Jesus never came into this earth to preach to us, firstly, of what we need to do as a code of ethics, of some kind of life that needs to be lived. He came and preached about himself. He claimed who he was. He made great statements that he was God and that he is great. And in this verse, I'll read it to you. This is what he says. "The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, I don't know if you have ever listened to others talk about themselves. If you have, you know that you'll get tired very quickly. There's not anything which goes against the human spirit than listening to someone claim how good they are and how great they are. And as they're bragging all the time, you simply cannot stand it. Well, the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, this is what he did. he actually made great statements about himself. And in this chapter, he makes three statements how great he is. He is greater than the temple. That means all that it signifies. He is greater than Jonah, the prophet, who was swallowed by the great fish. He is now greater than Solomon. You may have some thoughts in your head when you're cleaning your teeth that you may be great. You may actually think to yourself and praise yourself in the morning that you have not sinned. You've not got out of bed yet. You may think that you've actually are able to do something. You're successful. You've been well educated. You've got something behind you. But you would never dare, would you, speak such words at the coffee table to your friends and to others. But the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, made these great statements. And what he does here in verse 42 again is that he makes this statement of how great he is. And he doesn't make that statement amongst adoring fans. He doesn't make that statement and write it down in an ivory tower. He makes that statement in verse 38 before the scribes and the Pharisees. They were those who were against him and they wanted to seek a sign. And when he makes this statement, I want us to look at it this morning, that he gives them, first of all, a warning that those who have come to seek for a sign, he says, I'll tell you, there'll be one who'll stand in the judgment against you because she came to hear, the wisdom of Solomon. And not only that, there may be someone here today who is looking for the great answers and for life. I can assure you there's a greater than Solomon who's able to answer every question you have. And if there's anyone here today who has not come to the Lord Jesus, then let this Queen of the South inspire you that she came over all the odds and great difficulties. And first of all, very simply this, that what he says to the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. And there's a note for us as a church now, a church which is living in a day which is taken up with signs and wonders. I don't know why, perhaps you may have come to church today, but would it be possible that you came to hear the word of the Lord Jesus? And what then the Lord Jesus does, he takes an example, an illustration, an episode that took place in the history of these people when King Solomon was on the throne. There was a Queen of the South, Queen of Sheba, came to meet Solomon, a great journey, over 1,200 miles, 3,000 years ago. It's a journey which has inspired films. Perhaps some of you have seen the great painting of the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon. It has inspired art. It has inspired books, the journey that she made. And one of the reasons that it captures us is this. It's because today we're exactly the same. 3,000 years later, we are still people who are looking for answers. We've got many questions. There's a longing in our hearts that we would find a knowledge and wisdom in this world. Do you know there are people who go on pilgrimages up to the Tibetan mountains to try and find some hidden wisdom? There are those who would look for other things in other religions. There are those who take up courses that they may be able to learn. But what happened in this woman's day was this, is that King Solomon, she had heard, was blessed of the Lord. Something happened in King Solomon's life. There was a moment when he prayed and God came to him and said, ask of me what you wish. And he asked for wisdom. And the wisdom of Solomon became known throughout the world. He didn't ask for riches, didn't ask for his enemies to be destroyed. He asked for wisdom. And do you know what you need and I need in my life today? What's the one thing, if you could only have it? Wisdom. Wisdom to deal with your family, with your children. Wisdom in that very place where you find yourself perplexed and confused. Wisdom in this world in which we find ourselves. And the Lord Jesus says to these people, I tell you now, there is one which is standing before you who is greater than Solomon, the Word of God incarnate, the wisdom from on high. And you see, this woman came to hear his wisdom. And this morning, as we've come to this place, may it be for this, because she's going to rise up in the judgment. And it's going to be risen up against these scribes and Pharisees, because they came seeking for a sign. And as that will take place, what you don't realize is not the wonder works that you need for your life, but the words of wisdom that you need for your life. And these scribes and Pharisees, look, as good as they were, and as helpful as they were, we know, we read about them. They prayed. They gave to the poor. They did their religious deeds. But you know something? Do you know what Jesus says? That there's a day which is coming, and they will rise up because of this, the great sin of omission, which was in the lives of these religious people, is that they had never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come seeking a sign, but they had never come to him themselves. And you know, on that day when we all have to stand before God and the great books are opened and we'll all be judged what is written therein, of all the things which are against us, angels will hold their breath to know this one great truth, that you came to the Lord Jesus. And you know, of all the things that you could do wrong in your life, the one thing, the worst, is this, that you never came to him. Came to him. And so he tells these Pharisees that they will come that day, that she will stand up because she came. And it happens like that in our nation today. Do you realize there are people coming from other nations? There are people who come from other religions. There are people who come from other places. And they do come. Well, the people of Wales don't come. There are many who have sat in their pews for many a year, and they've never come. Think of it. You have known of the water of life, and you've never drunk. You've known of the food of life, and you've never partaken. You have known of what it is to have, like these Pharisees, which they knew of Jesus Christ before them, and they never came to him. And so that's just the word of warning, the word of warning that he gives to these religious people. But I want to give you now something else, something to encourage you and to inspire you of what she did find of when she did come to Solomon. Because what we read is quite remarkable, is that she found all her answers there. She found more than she could ever have imagined. She found things which took her breath away. And you know what Jesus says? There is one now which is greater than Solomon who is here. And I just want you to think of these three things. You can find it in that reading which we had very simply from verses 1 to verses 3. You find it that she came with questions. Now, do you have questions today? Of course you have questions. You've got questions about life, questions about God, questions about your soul, questions about life after death, questions of the way of salvation, questions about love, questions about your future, questions about your destiny. And this says here that when she came, that she came with him, with these hard questions. And then we read that there was not anything in verse 3 that Solomon answered all her questions. And there was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain to her. And look at that in verse 2. And she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Here's this woman. She came to Solomon. And you know, she had questions. I believe that perhaps she started like you and me start. Philosophical questions. Questions about, you know, the world. How it was made. Questions about why we're here. General questions. And then perhaps she had some practical political questions. She was a queen. He was a king. How would you govern? But then it tells us this. She came and she spoke with him of all that was in her heart. Her heart. What was in her heart. The longings of her heart. The desires of her heart. The sins of her heart. The things in your heart which you could not share and no one else has the answer for. I'll tell you about this world. This world has no answers for you. The world only has questions for you. You can go to your university and you'll have more questions than answers by the time you get out. And in this world in which we live today, there are those great leaders which are leading us. And they've only got problems and they haven't got solutions. And you say, where could I find the answers? And you know what he says? That she found that there was not one question that he couldn't answer. Now you believe that, don't you? I tell you why you believe it. Because in this very book, there's the book of Proverbs. And in that book of Proverbs, there are the Proverbs of Solomon. And the wisdom of Solomon is being read today 3,000 years after. And you know something about those Proverbs that he wrote? They've not been amended. They've not been changed. They've not been taken back. They've not been found false. There was a wisdom which was given to him by God. He had the wisdom of life, and she could know the answers of what to do. But what you may not realize this day is that when Solomon spoke of the Proverbs, each and every one of those Proverbs points to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because in the book of Proverbs, he speaks, does he not, of wisdom in chapter 8, which cries out, wisdom which was with God before the foundation of the world. I was with him. I was at his right hand. The wisdom. And when you come to Jesus Christ, he is the one that Solomon pointed to. I can say to you today, look in your heart and in your life. You come to Jesus. You cry out to Jesus. You speak to Jesus of whatever it may be. And he has the wisdom, for he is the God of wisdom, and he is able to answer. And his wisdom is far greater. And he tells them, she came all that way to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And Jesus Christ will answer how it is that you can be saved, how your sin can be dealt with, how you can have a meeting with God, how your life can be fulfilled, how you can know the purpose of why you're made. Great answers to great questions. But there's something else. This wisdom that was shown is seen now also here in that chapter, 1 Kings chapter 10. It says that when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he built, the table, the seating of his servants, the service of the waiters, she saw it before their eyes. Now that's interesting. That's very interesting. Have you ever seen what people describe in this world as those who are wise? I'm thinking of one philosopher in my mind, Schopenhauer. Well, what a miserable old man he was. And you know, I found that often is that these people who are so big on their learning, yet their lives, you see, are so desperate and hopeless and void of any light, of any direction. There are those which we look up to the great leaders. But when she saw his wisdom of how his servants were, how they were seated, how the things he had built, wisdom is justified by the children, that you can see it before him. And when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you, as she saw the riches of Solomon, there are greater riches in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul could put it like this, that God had made him a preacher of the Gentiles to speak forth the unsearchable riches of Christ. And if you were to come to Jesus Christ today, I could tell you, you have riches that money cannot buy. You could know what it is that your life would be filled with that love of God. You could know what it is that your life would have the hope and that meaning. You could have something which is not bought in this world, a world of chaos and war and turmoil, a peace which could never be purchased. In Jesus Christ, there are riches of the knowledge of God, and you could come to know, and you could come to him and ask for that wisdom. And if you were to see his people, happy are they, happy are his people, content are his people, or his people know how to live, his people know what to do. You can see his people and the riches of his glory, which one can know. She saw something of his riches. But look at this, which we read here. It says in verse 5, something else that she saw, and is a greater than Solomon. In verse 5, and the entrance way by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. No more spirit in her. There was something else that when she was there, Solomon had built two houses. He had built the temple, which was one of the wonders of the world. And he had built his house. And these were magnificent places. But what Solomon had done was this, is that he had made a viaduct which spanned the valley from the hill on which the temple was built and from the hill in which his house then rested. And he made a way to the house of God. Now I can assure you, she says, that when she saw that, and I have no doubt it is not exaggerating, her breath was taken away. How many times have you perhaps gone over the bridge? I say the Cleddau Bridge, it fell down at one time, but you know the wisdom it takes to build a bridge and the strength and all the engineering. It takes a mighty work. And some of these great bridges, you think, that was wise how someone built that bridge to span then that river. Well, when she saw it, her breath was taken away. But in Jesus Christ, you know what I'm going to say. There is one who has spanned that bridge from this world to God. There is one who's made a way from this world to the Heavenly Father. There is one by his precious blood and his arms outstretched. There is one in his death and in his resurrection that has made a way which is unto God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And there's a greater than Solomon who is here. And there's one who can bring you into the very throne room of God. And by that precious blood, there is one far greater. In his riches, in his glory, in his way to God. And so that was just something that you would be an incentive, that you could come to him and you can come to God in this way. You can know God in him. You can know of glory that you would never have known before. But there's something else, just simply this for us this morning. There is this challenge to us, a challenge to us of this Queen of Sheba. She will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it. What he's telling us now, the Lord Jesus is giving us a revelation of something that's going to take place in the future. There is a judgment which is coming, and in that judgment, God is not only going to judge us, but when he does, it will be seen to be right. There will be those which will be called to the tribunal, those which will be called to the dock. It's not like it's going to be a kangaroo court. The Lord Jesus himself is going to be there. He's the one who's going to do, and the nations are called to him. But when that happens, nations, generations, will be called to stand up to other generations. And when she came, I want you to think about it. She came to him with no invitation whatsoever. And you've had an invitation week after week. She had no knowledge. We read in that very section, it was quite remarkable. She came to him by faith, but it was faith which was filled with unbelief. Look at that in verse 6. And she said to the king, "It is true, the report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes." And it's true for everyone today. Whatever I'm speaking to you about Jesus, I can't relay to you the half of the joy, the half of the love, the half of the glory. And it's not even been revealed to us, the half of eternity which is before us. It's hard for us to take it in. And here's this woman, without TV, without phone, without emails, only had just a hearing of the fame and the wisdom and the riches of this man. She came with no invitation. She came with little faith. Every step she was making, "I didn't believe what they were saying." Have you been like that? Has that been your experience? "I don't believe what that preacher is saying." But she came. She came. And in that unbelief, she came longing in her heart. Do you know, it's really fascinating, isn't it? Because it does challenge us. Here was a queen who had great responsibility. She had great privilege. She had great riches. We know that because of the way that she came and what she gave him. But you realize, for all her fame, the position that she had, the riches which were hers, there was something else in her heart she wanted to fulfill. There are things in this world which will never fulfill you. No matter if you're a king or a queen, you will always be empty on the inside. And you need to hear the wisdom of God. In the Second World War, I remember reading the account of a German pastor who was of the Confessing Church. They were the ones who stood up against Hitler and against the Nazis. They did. Many of them were imprisoned. Many of them lost their lives. But when the war was coming to the end and the cities were being bombed, like in Stuttgart, he said that he was holding Bible studies where the whole city was being bombed. Do you know where they were? They were in that church. He said there were 2,000, 3,000 people just gathered. The church was taking direct hits and he was preaching. And he said, "I learned a lesson that night, that there is something which longs in the human heart against all that's taking place in this world. People were hungry for that word of God, and there's something more." And they came. I want to challenge you. This woman, she had that longing. You've got that longing. And she came. I tell you all something else about this woman. She's a challenge to us. She came, as I told you, with no invitation, and you can come with an ample invitation to come. She came over many difficulties. It would have taken months to get there, 1,200 miles, crossing nations, crossing deserts, just to hear these words. And you realize when he says, she'll stand up in this generation because she had no comfort. And you think of the difficulties today, why people don't come. People have not come from their pews to him. There are obstacles in our way. She'll be called to the tribunal and she'll make her case. Of the organization, the planning, the travel, the days perhaps which without water, how they planned it and plotted it all. And people say, but you don't know, Mr. Rees, I'm a busy man. She'll stand up on that day. I was in charge of a nation. I had concerns. I had people. I had worries. I had decisions to make. I had to leave it all there, leave it in the hands of others. And whatever you may have in your life that you may think that you are so busy that you couldn't come to hear that word of God because the pressing issues in your life, she will stand against you on that day. And you say, well, I came. It took me months to get there and to get back. And then she came, did she not? She came bringing the gold and the spices, never been seen before. The gold and the spices. She didn't know what to do. She brought him the gift. You know that today you don't have to come, do you, bringing him any such gift. You know that you can bring yourself. There's nothing that we have that he really needs. We come with empty hands. But you come. But what she found was this. Whatever she gave to him, Solomon gave her much more to take away. And when you come to Jesus Christ today, could you not say, I come to you. Our Lord, I'm scared. I give you all that I am. Everything that I have is yours. I lay it all on the altar for you. You do that. And you'll go from this place with much more than you ever had coming in. There's a greater than Solomon who is here. Jesus says, I'm great. I'm great. He says, I'm greater than the greatest king you've ever had. Jesus is greater than the greatest ruler you could ever sit under. And every one of us this day needs a king in our lives. Jesus Christ is the prophet, the priest, and the king. You need the king that can give you peace. You need the king that can protect you and support you. You need the king that can rule over you. And you can know Jesus Christ. You can come to him. She came. You're to come to him by faith this day.